It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. That's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. It's your daily sports dump. Just in time, Thursday, March 5th, 2020. I apologize for the delay. It's another evening edition of the Sports Dump. Sometimes you don't get the dump in the morning you expect, and you got to wait till the evening. And that's the case today. But we've got some stuff for you. Sickness is about. I don't mean the coronavirus. I mean the Sports Dump joke writer, Quincy. He's got some kind of livestock disease or something. These are the dangers of kids. You know, you don't know what's going to happen to you. You're going to get something. So he's got that, unfortunately. And we were supposed to be talking to David Sampson, former president of the Marlins, host of Nothing Personal on CBS Sports Talk. Is it radio or is it podcast? Who can say? Either way, he also is sick. And, you know, I thought for a second he may have been backing out, but no, he canceled Nothing Personal today because of sickness. So either he truly is sick or he so wanted to get out of doing the show with me that he actually missed his own show as well. I don't think that's the case. I'll ask him tomorrow because we've rescheduled for then if he is well. I hope he is. I'm sure he's a listener. So in that case, he's listening right now, I'm sure. All right, on with the show. No jokes today, as I said, because Quincy's sick. Hand, foot, and mouth, I think is what it is. We've got we're back on the baseball previews here, and we've got some great treats for you today from Baseball Reference. But before that, we've got this is a good one, folks. Maybe you're getting tired of this bit. I don't know. I didn't think it was going to last this long. I keep saying that, but it's our mock draft update. Pause for music. And we've got some real nice stuff for you today here. First of all, we'll just quickly talk about, of course, our go-to CBS Sports line. Maybe I can talk to David about that tomorrow. Either way, they've got, of course, their Mock Draft Central, where they have three people constantly rotating mock drafts. In this one today, who we got today? Will Brinson. This is the one where Cowboys tag and trade Dak Prescott to Dolphins in outside the box first round. Outside the box, as in never going to happen first round. But let's look for the disqualifiers in the beginning. Yeah, here we go. Will Brinson, thank you, by the way, Will, for doing this mock draft. Free agency is close to starting, so we're not even quite at free agency yet. So that really determines what people need and what the draft will be. So really, no need to do any of these at this point at all. That's me editorializing. We're fresh out of the combine, this is true, so there's a little bit more clarity. But here's the great sentence right here. This is the time for wild conjecture and rampant speculation. Well, folks, you can do that on your own, okay? So it goes on, and there's a bunch of stuff there, but that's all we need there. That's all you need to know about that. I'm not even going to look at that draft. We'll get into that later on. I'm thinking of actually doing another mock draft, not my own, because I'm a mock draft expert, only going to do one. But I'm thinking of, like, cutting up all the names. I'm actually not even going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give it away. I'm trying to steal my ideas. This is what happens with a night episode, everybody. Anyway, thanks a lot, Will Brinson. I saved you folks the time. That mock draft is outside the box and actually is never going to happen. Now, there's another one I'd like to mention, and this is a kudos. And we don't always give kudos in our mock draft updates. And this is not today, but it's yesterday, but I missed it. And it's on the NFL Network itself. So it's not often we get the opportunity to compliment the NFL. But we're going to do it right now because Cynthia, and I apologize, Cynthia, Freeland. I'm not going to say Freeland because that seems weird. But Freeland, Cynthia, I'm going to call you Cynthia, if that's okay. Her NFL mock draft, who would analytics pick? Okay, so here's something now that maybe takes a different, unique spin on things, where this is not, first of all, the first five players are not the same first five players. Listen, yesterday I'll tell you who the first five players in every mock draft are. Go back and listen. It won't be a surprise. This is different, though, because she is purely applying analytics. Okay? And here's another compliment. She says, I am not attempting to predict or divine what teams will actually do on draft day. No one really is. They're just trying to fill space, but she's at least saying it. And the thing that separates this is that she is applying purely analytics. So none of all the other stuff. I mean, maybe there is a lot of other stuff in there, but numerical. I'm not going to read all the analytics, folks. I trust her. I trust that the analytics are doing the work for us. And here's the last compliment. When my one and only mock dropped in early April, okay? One and only mock. She's making the same point I am. Now, she does say she's going to do another one. But still, one at this point is ahead of the group, by which I mean less. I'm not going to get into her picks because, again, that's for you to decide. I'm just telling you what it is. This, at least, is different than 99% of the mock drafts. And not just being like, here's a different mock draft like the one we'll end up doing later on. But I can't give you that idea. So thank you, NFL.com. NFL, record this episode. One of the rare ones you're going to get the call-outs in a positive way from us. By the way, don't sign that CBA. Although I can't. We're going to talk about the CBA tomorrow, folks, with David Sampson, who is pro-management, from what I can tell. And that's the perfect type of person for a... I wouldn't say I'm pro-labor as much as I might be anti-management. But we'll see how it all works out tomorrow, and we'll discuss the NFL CBA, which I think you should never agree to more work, no matter what. We'll see what he says. They may be getting such a sweet deal that you can't turn it down, but we'll see how that shakes out. Or as David would say, is it wait and see? I think that's what he says. Anyway, on to that was our mock draft update. Thank you to those mock drafters. And again, down the line, we'll have ours coming out. But now it's time for our baseball previews. And let's see if I'm unlazy enough to look up some, like, organ music underneath. So if I don't get anything else under there, that'll be enough. But the two teams we have for you right now are the Toronto Blue Jays and the Phillies of Philadelphia. And we're trying to give some different information than you're going to get other places. And quite frankly, if you're looking for actual valuable information, well, maybe the Phillies will have some, but we're not known for our statistical accuracy or interest. But with the Blue Jays, I don't know if you know this, but the Blue Jays are like the Sons of Hall of Famer team. They've got Vlad Guerrero Jr. If you can't figure out who his dad is, well, stop listening. They've got Kavan Biggio. That's K. I'm looking at it and I say K. Stu Gotts, that goes out to you. C-A-V-A-N Biggio. C-A-V-A-N Kavan Biggio. That's Craig Biggio's kid. So people are going to probably hit him with pitches. Let's see what's his hit by pitches. Hit by pitches. Hit by pitches. Only two? Come on, kid. And they also have Bo Bichette, who is Dante Bichette's kid. And these are three of their four best returning players as measured by wins above replacement. Again, an analytic statistic that we are just going to implicitly trust and not try to explain. So, who do we got there? I said, that's right. Kavan Biggio had 2.8 wins above replacement. Vlad Jr. had 2.1, and Bo Bichette had 2.1, okay? And that's their infield right there. You got third base, shortstop, although they have Freddy Galvis, who's supposed to be pretty good, I guess. Is that right? He's supposed to be pretty good? Yeah, he's right there. Okay, so, you know, maybe he plays first base, third base, second base, regardless. They're all on the team, and they're all the sons of major leaguers. So I'm trying to get to somewhere where you're not going to get anywhere else, so I went to the least well-known of the major league dads. We all know Craig Biggio of the Killer Bees. I hope that's what they were called. And Vlad Guerrero Sr. If you didn't figure it out, that's the dad of Vlad Guerrero Jr. We know who those guys are, Hall of Famers. One got hit by a lot of pitches. The other was a great bad ball hitter. hit a lot of balls out of the plate. From what I understand, the two best bad ball hitters ever were Vlad Guerrero and Yogi Berra. There may have been other ones. Ted Williams was like a good ball hitter. Anyway, so we're talking about Dante Bichette Sr. Is it Dante Bichette? No, his son is Bo. So it's Dante Bichette, the man. And he had one great year, second in an MVP voting, 40 home runs, 128 RBIs up there in Colorado. But the thing I want to talk about with him is another analytic. So again, let's just trust these things, but they're called wins above replacement. And what that's supposed to mean is, like, if you put, like, the most average guy out there, how much better or worse is this person going to be? Basically, that's all you need to know. So this guy, he almost was an MVP. He finished in the top 20 three times, and he finished 21st another time in MVP voting. So he's not an inconsequential player. But for his career, his total wins above replacement is negative 1.1, which is to say, if you just paid like the minimum wage, average minimum guy coming up from the minors, you would have broken even. You actually would have gotten one more win in that time. And he made almost $43 million. So again, you got to be thriftier than that, owners. It's your own fault when you're not making money. It's because this guy, whose career is a net one loss, ends up being a $42 million guy. Good for him. And enough money, obviously, to train a major league son. But that's an interesting statistic from my point of view. And by the way, his offense, yeah, it was 15.1. Did I already say that? Offense, it's late at night. 15.1. Defense, negative 16.2. So the negative is just entirely, he barely had any negative seasons hitting, and he barely had any positive seasons in the field. His best season in the field was 0.4 positive, and his worst season hitting was negative 0.4. So look at that. That evens out. So there's a little bit of, it just goes to show, defense, very important, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't have to tell you who the leading defensive player in wins above replacement is. It's Ozzie Smith. Okay, I told you. By a long shot. But that's a story for another day. So that's your Blue Jays. Did I not really talk about this year's team? I mentioned three players. It's plenty. And you found something out about one of those players' dads. So that's something. Now, the other team we're going to talk about. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I forgot about this. The other team we're going to talk about, of course, is the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, at first, I was going to talk about one of my least favorite players, and not really seemingly a great guy in my mind, and a guy who faked blood on his sock when he played for Boston, and whose record against the Yankees wasn't really all that great in the playoffs, 2-1, bad ERA. I'm talking, of course, about bad guy Curt Schilling. But I'm not going to talk about him because I don't have to, because I got fixated on something else. Again, thank you, Baseball Reference. I got fixated on a couple things, actually. But the one thing I got fixated on was an outfielder and an outfield statistic, which I'll talk about in just a second. As for this year's Phillies, I'm going to say, you know, Bryce Harper's been in the league for like 8 years. They've got this other guy, Rhys Hopkins, who's supposed to be like a big slugger, and he's a young slugger up and coming. He's played like 2.5 years, like a third year. He's the same age as Bryce Harper, who's been in the league for like 8 years. Bryce Harper's going to have some great career statistics because he signed a contract for like the rest of time. He's going to be a compiler, folks. Now, before I get into talking about Richie Ashburn, I believe is who I was talking about. Richie Ashburn, who is the, is that correct? Yeah, the Philadelphia Phillies center fielder, I believe, who is an incredible fielder. And I'm just going to tell you from statistics, I'll explain in a second. But before I go to, I'm sorry I'm laughing. I'm just here by myself. It's hard to laugh by yourself. But while I was looking at leaders in these statistics, I came across a player who played center field, born in 1891 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He played, looks about 5 years. He was on the Chicago White Sox. Okay, so he was on the Black Sox. He was on the Black Sox, actually. He was a center fielder for the Black Sox, I'm going to have to go back and watch Eight Men Out, because this center fielder's name was Happy Felch. I'm sorry. His name is Happy Felch. I got to tell you, that's his name. I see my wife's laughing in the other room, but that's crazy. That's his name. All right, so there you go. His name is Happy Felch, and he played on the Black Sox. Well, that's no surprise, if you think about it. Anyway, that's all. I discovered him while I was talking about this incredible fielder, and I'm going to give you some interesting statistics about the statistic of putouts as an outfielder. Now, a putout, if you don't know, is when you catch a ball, that's an out. Also, if you tag a player, that is an out, although it's very rare an outfielder will tag a player. So we're going to assume 99.99% of these putouts are catches that these outfielders make, okay? So that sounds boring, but here's what I'm going to tell you about this guy, Richie Ashburn. So he made 500 putouts, and he did that 1, 2, 3, 4 times, and two other times he did 495 and 496, which means he caught the ball 500 times, like 5 times in his career. He did it 5, and he almost did it 2 others. No, did it 4, almost did it 2 others. Let's call it 6, okay? No one else has done it more than once in their career. And only 1, 2, 3, 4 other people have ever done it. Now, I'm going to ask my brother will look it up, but nobody's going to guess these. These are ridiculous stats. So I'm not even going to say, can you guess? Also, this is a podcast. Richie Ashburn did it 6 times. Did it 4 times, almost did it 2 other times. Nobody even comes close to it. Chet Lemon did it once. Chet Lemon of the wearing shorts White Sox. He had 512 in 1977. Dwayne Murphy of the Braves. He didn't seem that fast, but he did it with 507. It hasn't been done since then, folks. No one has done 500 since then. So those were the two guys who did it in the 70s. One guy did it in way before anybody else, and his name was Taylor Dohit, and he has the record with 547. That's a lot of catches in the outfield. That's incredible. He's the only other person who did it, and the only person who's done it more than once is Richie Ashburn, and like I said, he did it 4 times, almost got it 2 other times, and he led the league in putouts 6 times. No one has more than that. And in fact, only one other person has 6, and that's Max Carey. Now, Max Carey played in the aughts. No, he did play in the aughts, but he also played in the teens, and that's how I found out Happy Felch, because Max Carey and Happy Felch for 3 years held the record of most putouts in a season at 440. So if you ever want to dun, 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 dun. Ask a trivia question where the answer is Happy Felch and still be okay asking the trivia question, you can ask who had the most putouts in a season as of 1917. And they'll say, what? And you'll say, just make a guess. It's a baseball question. And they'll go, I don't know, Ty Cobb. And you'll say, Ty Cobb wasn't even playing by then. But they'll say, what? You'll say, well, oh, never mind. And then you'll say, Happy Felch, and then they'll punch you in the face. I don't know if that'll happen, but I just wanted to get the word Happy Felch in there as many times as I could. And one other little fact for you folks on putouts, again, catches in the outfield, what an exciting thing to talk about. But all three DiMaggio brothers led the league in putouts, okay? That's kind of weird, right? No? You don't agree? I'm going to tell you, Dom DiMaggio did it in 1942, Vince DiMaggio, when did Joe do it? No, Joe did it first. Older brother Joe did it in 1937. So there you go. The DiMaggio brothers, the only set of three brothers to lead the league in putouts. You want a meaningless statistic? I just gave you one there, folks. All right. That was a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. But that's okay. And folks, if you're like me, today was probably a pretty sad day. This was one of the reasons it took so long. I was in a malaise because, well, my candidate dropped out of the election. And, you know, I was behind her for a number of reasons, mostly philosophically. She was the best one. That's, I think, the best reason. But I had a lot of reasons, and she's gone now. And, you know, I just want to say thank you for your service, Tulsi Gabbard, for dropping out of the election.
What? Oh.
Oh, Tulsi hasn't dropped out of the election.
Oh,
okay. Wow.
Really?
All right. Well, okay. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Actually, we'll talk to, hopefully, if he's well, David Sampson from CBS. I don't even know if it's CBS Sportsline or what it is. I'll have to straighten that out. I always get something wrong with him. But he'll join us tomorrow. We'll talk. It'll be a, you know, it'll be a real, like, you know, union guy against management guy. So, you know, in the end, no matter how the conversation turns out, he'll still have much more money than me. So what are you going to do? All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Oh, I hope this stopped. Oh, shit. When? Bye. Dun 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 d